An important vision on December 3rd. Before the year ended, Ellen White received an important vision relating to the work of St. Helena Sanitarium and its physician-in-chief. The institution was enjoying a good patronage. The head physician was a skillful surgeon with a reputation that enhanced the standing of the sanitarium. This was much needed after some unfortunate circumstances that surrounded the work of his predecessor. But the sanitarium board was faced with a very real problem when the physician expressed his need for more money than he was receiving. At the time, all members of the medical staff were salaried employees of the institution. The physician-in-chief talked of an increase in salary and a percentage of the fees charged for his surgical operations. He wanted to remain in his position, but he was prepared to resign if the board could not make an adjustment in his favor. He was willing to give the sanitarium time to consider the matter carefully. On Wednesday night, December 3rd, the board canvassed it thoroughly, but could reach no decision. The physician agreed to hold on for another month, giving the board ample time to find its way. The meeting closed a little after midnight. Earlier in the day, as the Union Conference Committee was meeting at the sanitarium, W.C. White had invited committee board members to visit Elmshaven, just below the sanitarium, to see what was going on in the office. He suggested that it would cheer his mother if they were to pay her a little visit. He reminded the men that she was growing old and it was uncertain how long she would live. The visit would have to be made early, for the men would be in a meeting of the conference committee all day, to be followed by another meeting of the sanitarium board in the evening. W.C. White had intended to alert his mother in ample time in the morning, but the sanitarium board had not adjourned until very late the night before, and he overslept. He awoke at almost the time set for the visit of the men. In fact, they were most likely already on their way down the hill, about a 15-minute walk. He dressed hastily and hurried over to Elmshaven, found his mother upstairs in her writing room, and told her of the impending visit. "I don't want to see them," was her response. She told him that she had had a strange experience in the night and that she was not feeling well. "I can't see them," she repeated. WCW to AGD, December 19, 1913, WCW is told to A.L. White. When she spoke of having a strange experience in the night, her son was more than ever eager that she should meet the men. He knew that at times when boards and committees were struggling with difficult problems, his mother was at the same time in vision going through the experience with them. Perhaps, he thought, she would have some light for them. So he said to her, "Mother, there are several of our conference presidents who wish to speak to you, and I intended to bring them up to your room, but as you are not feeling well, if you will come down to the sitting room, I will invite them to come in and meet you there." WCW to AGD, December 19, 1913. He assured her that they would not take much of her time or strength. She acceded and went down to the living room. It was quite a sizable group that came together, shook hands with Ellen White, and found seats in the room. W.C. White thought they would engage in conversation, telling her a little about their work, but silence prevailed. To break the ice, W.C. White began to tell his mother about the board meetings. "Today we must enter into consideration of sanitarium problems, particularly the question of the wages we should pay to physicians and surgeons. We have in our St. Helena Sanitarium a God-fearing physician who has won the confidence of all his associates, a man whom God has blessed greatly in his ministry to the sick. He wants to remain, and everybody wants him to remain, and he feels that it would be right for him to remain if his brethren could grant him a wage about twice as large as that paid to our average workers. He loves to give freely, and he wishes to have funds with which to live and to use for this purpose. We are much perplexed, and we would be glad to know if you have any light on this matter." With this introduction, Ellen White began to talk freely, and it was easily seen she had a definite message for the board members. Clarence Chrysler took notes. Her response was so clear and provided such a decisive answer to the questions the sanitarium had been wrestling with and the course they should follow that they were deeply impressed. There was clearness and power with which she presented the matter. WCW to AGD, December 19, 1913. Speaking to the point, she said, "If he is granted considerably more than other physicians, they will come to believe they are not treated right unless they have more also. We must move cautiously and understandingly, and not allow wages to creep up so high that many will be tempted. Unless you have some clear light from the Lord, it is not advisable to pay one man considerably more than another doing a similar work. For, if you do, the others will think it perfectly proper to expect similar high wages. We must look at all things on all sides, and it is so of no use for us to think that we can offer a successful worker a high wage simply because he may demand it. We must, rather, consider what we can afford to do at the present time, when the fields are opening upon which we shall henceforth have to expend much more means than we have spent hitherto. These are matters that will test the faith of our people." With this as a beginning, the interview continued for an hour and more. Arguments were presented as to the special value to the institution of the head physician, and also the problems other institutions would face if a precedent were set along the lines proposed. In response, Ellen White made it clear that we must work harmoniously. "One brother says, 'Such and such a brother has a certain wage, and I must have a wage to correspond.' And so the wages will climb, and keep climbing, higher and still higher. The fact is that the wages of some may have to be lower and still lower in order that we may meet the extensive requirements of the work that is before us in warning the world. The Lord desires us to be consistent in everything. He desires us to follow the self-sacrificing example of Christ, and when we do that, His blessing rests upon us. Those who have the cause of God at heart must realize that they are not working for themselves or for the small wage they may be receiving, and that God can make the little they do receive go farther than they may think it can. He will give them satisfaction and blessing as they go forward in self-sacrificing labor. And He will bless every one of us as we labor in the meekness of Christ." Elder G.W. Reeser offered a short prayer to close the interview. As the men left, several spoke words of appreciation to Ellen White. Reeser's were typical. "We are very thankful to have met you, Sister White, and to find you in good health. And personally I am thankful for the good counsel you have given us this morning. You have surely spoken a word in season to us all." Clarence Chrysler went immediately to his typewriter and by early afternoon had the 18-page report of the interview ready for use. A copy was taken to the manager of the sanitarium, and he in turn promptly passed it on to the physician concerned, reporting to A.G. Daniels on December 19th. W.C. White wrote, "When we met Thursday evening, it was soon settled that we need not longer discuss the question of percentage. Then the matter of wages was faithfully considered, and a little after midnight the board, by unanimous vote, requested Doctor to withdraw his resignation without expecting an increase of wages. The doctor discussed the situation lengthily and feelingly, and finally consented to withdraw his resignation. The much-loved and well-respected physician stayed on, but because of the complexities of the overall problem, Elder E.E. Andros, President of the Pacific Union Conference, returned to Elmshaven a week later to review the matter with Sister White, especially in the light of the wages of institutional workers generally. To him the counsel given earlier was reinforced, that is, a worker in the cause is not in a position to set his own wage." The experience seemed to give Ellen White a lift. She wrote a letter to her son Edson after the interview on Thursday morning, December 4th. "My work is not yet done. No, no. This morning I had an interview with several ministers who have been long in the work. The Lord gave me important instruction for them, and a message of encouragement. I thank Him that they appreciated the words spoken.